Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning to Jenkins Church. I think y'all have all talked to each other this morning, and if not, greet and say hello after service, if you would. Okay, getting brought up to speed. Does anybody have any announcements this morning? And the church is providing everything for eats.
Yes.
Fifth Sunday service on the 31st, 9 a.m., and breakfast to follow. Patrick, did you have something? Did I see your hand come up? Okay. Other announcements?
There is one, but I can't find it. Oh. It's on the week of January the 17th, and it's at the bottom. Next Sunday, we have a four-day. The Bethel University, formerly Bethel College, award-winning quartet will be with us. They're going to be with us at 8 o'clock. They're going to be with us at 10:15. And they will just sing a couple of three songs during the service. And then at 2 o'clock, they will have a concert. So please plan to be here and plan to bring your acquaintances. When Renaissance was here a couple of times before, people were truly blessed, inspired, and motivated, and maybe a number of other positive things. This time we're having only the quartet. The quartet went to Louisville this summer and came away not only award winning but first place award, and they will be with us. They're going to be staying at the Bennett's bed and breakfast. Then after the worship service, we will have a soup luncheon sponsored by the Grace Team, or Sam and Nancy, and they will provide a soup luncheon, that's in the bulletin too. But we encourage you to invite people especially to the concert, and we'll get the publicity out around town this week. That's at 2 o'clock next Sunday. Thank you very much. Two soup luncheon is for donation.
Any other announcements? Prayer and praise requests?
If people of Haiti are on our minds, the rescuers, the workers, so they will just get exhausted. There's much emotions that go with that. So, Bill Fama. Also, a former church member at the Madison Church funeral this afternoon at Cookville. Her name is Carolyn Young. And I've got to drive to Cookville. So, anyhow, pray for that family, Carolyn Young.
My mother, Ellen Walker, has been on prayers numerous times. She's having a very difficult week. We're not sure if it's just advanced aging, or if it's new medication, or if it's the flu. But she's kind of not real responsive right now. So, Ellen Walker.
When's tonight's back on? Patrick, you don't say anything about that?
Yeah, we're going to start, we're going to go about every 3 weeks with a study on world religion, and then we'll have a student speaker, and then another 3 weeks world religion. This week we're going to start off with Islam. So it's a little video series, and it's pretty good. We're still going to worship music, and supper at 6, worship at 7, but instead of I'm
to ask for your prayers. I know you've seen my mother. I know you've seen my mother on the prayer list for a while, and Cindy and I are right now trying to locate a assisted living for my mom. So just keep us in your prayers as we make that decision. And praise requests, I'm glad to have my voice back. So that was a long way, long time coming. Okay, well, let's pause for a moment as we welcome Jesus, the light of the world. If you'd all please stand and join me in our call to worship. It is found in the bulletin and it is responsive. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Our first hymn is Here I Am to Worship, and it is on the screen.
Thank you.
God, Thou art worthy. You are worthy, O Lord, for all that we can bring to You. And Lord, and so much more. And we come before You humbly, just having been reminded, or being reminded, of Your worthiness. Lord, we hear of some people being mad at You. Lord, reveal Yourself to Your loving people and open those hearts, because Lord, we know You to be lovely and loving, gentle and kind and helpful and encouraging. Lord, tragedy comes and we don't understand, and sometimes we want to blame You, but Lord, we know that You still love us, even in spite of tragedy and in the midst of it. Lord, thank You that we can come and worship You and express Your value in our lives. And Lord, thank You that You have so revealed Yourself to us that we can put our trust in You, paying the price, a price beyond our comprehension, to redeem us unto Your kingdom. Now the kingdom of Satan. Thank You, Father. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
If you please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed. You can find it in your hymnal 716 or on the screen behind me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Time in our service where we come and confess our sins. Let us journey to the place where the Christ child awaits us, where the light of God shines brightly. If you please join me in unison in our prayer of confession. O God, by leading of a star, Your only Son was made known to us, and yet we confess that we have preferred darkness to light, our own plans and purposes to Your guidance and direction, our own pride and will to Your power and glory. Forgive us, Lord. Grant us wisdom to behold the radiance that shines upon us and grace to walk in the light of your love. Amen. You guide us into life, light and love, God of wonder. You invite us to experience new birth. May the glory of Jesus Christ shine in the darkest places of our lives, and may we receive the gift of salvation that is your desire for us. Amen. Please turn in your hymnal to page 504, He Touched Me. Sentence this morning comes from Psalm chapter 96, verses 7 and 8. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Will our ushers please come forward?
Jesus' name. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
If you now turn in your hymnal to number 505, "Love Lifted Me," we'll do verses 1 and 3.
Singing. We have some bad news that we failed to mention during the special prayer time. Wendell and Linda Moses have a great grandson, and it's really their daughter's stepdaughter's child. If you remember, years ago, the girl, the mother of this child, had a difficult pregnancy and cancer. She got through that, and she became pregnant again and gave birth to a boy. And the sad news is that he died Thursday night, either from SIDS or those are always so inconclusive, I think, but they're calling it a SIDS death. Linda and Wendell have gone to Atlanta for a family gathering and a memorial service this afternoon, or about noon. So lift them up. Linda is scheduled to prepare food for Wednesday night. And she said, oh, I'll take care of it. We'll be back. But lift up the family. I think the six-month-old child and the mother and father are very distraught, as we can imagine, or I'm not sure that we can imagine. But lift up this family with your prayers, your concerns. A guy named William Sleeper wrote, and a person named George Stebbins set music to what Sleeper wrote. And I want you to hear these words. It's a song that I remember from, I guess, from my second church. We sang it quite often because there was a young man in the church that every time we'd have a select from the pew, selection time, he would say, let's sing, it was 190 in the Green Book. And we remember this church had the Green Book while we were still in the gym before we moved over here. Name of the song is You Must Be Born Again. And of course, it's based on the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus that you've heard from the Gospel of John, the third chapter. And I certainly cannot sing it, but I wish I could, but I want to read it. It says, a ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The master made answer in words true and plain, you must be born again. And then there's a chorus. Then the other verse, ye children of men, attend to the word so solemnly uttered by Jesus the Lord, and let not this message to you be in vain. You must be born again. O ye who would enter that glorious rest and sing with the ransomed the song of the blessed, the life everlasting if you would obtain, you must be born again. A dear one in heaven, thy heart yearns to see at the beautiful gate, may be watching for thee. Then list to the note of this solemn refrain, ye must be born again. The idea of a second birth or being born again is puzzling to many people. It is. Or does it make sense to you? It was puzzling to Nicodemus, a learned man, a Pharisee in the Jewish religion, a leader in the church. the synagogue. And Jesus explained to Nicodemus that the second birth was of a spiritual nature. You must be born again. And Nicodemus said, I've been born once. Can I really become an unborn child again? Can I enter into my mother's womb again and be born physically again? And Jesus contrasted the physical birth with the spiritual birth. And he said, born of water, the physical birth. Now some have taken this to be baptism, and it has nothing to do with baptism from where I'm looking. It said water baptism. Because the next phrase, he says, born of the flesh. The physical birth are born of woman. And then Jesus said, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. A birth that is from God. It's a spiritual nature. And so Jesus, in this passage, contrasts the spiritual birth with the physical birth. And he says that sometimes it's hard to really put your finger on. He said it could be thought about in terms of the wind. You can't really put your finger on the wind, can you? Or you can feel it. But as far as knowing where it comes from and where it's going, we don't. But we do experience it. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what the spiritual birth is like. He uses the wind to illustrate. Twice, Jesus says in this passage that the new birth, or being born of the Spirit, is required for entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, as you first read Nicodemus' question to Jesus, you don't find him, or as I read that first passage, or first part of the passage, he's not asking about getting into heaven, but he really is. And so Jesus explains it to him. Verse 3, we have Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, so he emphasizes it, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And then in verse 5, he says, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. You've got to be physically born, or you wouldn't be here. And then born of the Spirit, the second birth of the spiritual birth. So we have words like new birth. We have a phrase, being born again. And I still remember when Jimmy Carter was running for president, I think it was back in 1970 or 76, whenever he was running, I think it was 76 possibly. And they talked about him, and he professed to be a born again Christian. And so many people questioned, or the news media picked it up, like many people were questioning, well, what is a born-again Christian? Either these people were not part of the church, these people had not read or studied much from John chapter 3. They didn't know much about a spiritual birth. These that questioned it. And we have a theological term in our confession of faith that is regeneration. Regenerated people are born of the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, I spoke of justification. And I didn't know if one person picked that up and grasped anything out of it. But then I was in a small group of people, and one person was offering a prayer, kind of going around a circle of prayer, and he says, Lord, just thank you Thank you for a deeper understanding of something of the nature of a deeper understanding of what justification is, and that through you we experience or we are justified. What is justification? In case you were not here 2 weeks ago, it's a restoration of a broken relationship. We've been friends, and then for somehow we became enemies. We had a falling out, we will say. That happens quite often, does it? Well, I was friends, but we're no longer friends. And why are you not friends anymore? Well, it's always they did something, isn't it? They did something and hurt my feelings or something. Or sometimes we just kind of grow apart. But then we come back for a restoration. And in the Christian sense or the theological sense, we were friends with God. And we rebelled against him. Go back to Adam and Eve, but we ourselves have broken our relationship with God. And he comes in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus pays the penalty of our sin on the cross. And we are restored as we put our faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross. Or we are justified. And we come and stand in God's presence, and between us and God, it is just like we have never sinned before. He does not keep back here in his mind saying, if you ever get out of line, I'll remind you that we were separated once. He doesn't hold those grudges like we do. God receives us back into fellowship with him, and it's our relationship with him. It is like we have never sinned. Justified. And I used the phrase, and I found it somewhere years ago, it is just as if I had never sinned before. That's how we stand before God. If we have trusted in Jesus' death on the cross, burial, resurrection for our justification, the resurrection overcoming the penalty of sin. And the word today is regeneration, our new birth, and a short definition of that. Justification is being restored from a broken relationship. Regeneration is being resurrected from death to life. Resurrected from death to life, or given new life, or a new birth, if you will. The human condition is that we are, or were, if we've trusted in Jesus and been justified and been regenerated, it was a were. The human condition is that we are dead spiritually. Spiritually, we are dead. Or we were. We're not spiritually dead anymore. We're spiritually alive if we have been regenerated. If we're trusting in Jesus, and that's how we become to be regenerated, trusting in Jesus and what he did on the cross, in his overcoming the penalty of what he did on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, even the life of him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 speaks of how we were separated from God. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's Paul writing to the Christians in Ephesus. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. And also in verse 5, he kind of repeats himself that you were. Before we became believers, we were spiritually dead, or dead to the things of the Spirit. And then God did not create us just to exist in a state of spiritual death. God did not create us to exist upon this earth as separated from him, alienated from him, or dead to his guidance, his leadership, his encouragement, and what all that he offers to those who are spiritually alive. God created us to live empowered by His Spirit. God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Or we could say that God sent His Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, to save us from our deadness, or to regenerate us from our dead state, our dead existence, to make us alive in Christ. And all these are biblical phrase words. Jesus said it Himself in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. He said that He came to earth that we, that people who would read the passage and would accept His sacrifice for them, He came to earth that we might have life. He came to give us life. He came that we might experience life, that we could escape spiritual death, that we could be resurrected, regenerated. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And somebody defined the abundant life that Jesus offers as a full life and a meaningful life. A full life and a meaningful life. And for the full life, if anybody ever wondered about church people having a less than full life, they could hang around this church a day or two and find that life is full, at least of activity. Excuse me. God created us to live empowered by His Spirit. God created us to live empowered by His Spirit, or under the power of His Spirit. Regeneration. New birth. The second birth. Born again. Synonymous words. Regeneration is of God's grace. The song that we sang right after the confession, He touched me. He touched me and made me whole. And some people talk about, I was living a life of sin and degradation and awfulness and whatever you could say that would describe a life away from God. And one day I decided to go to God. Well, that's just half of the story. God reached down to touch that person. God called out to that person. God's Spirit moved in that person, if you will. And our new birth, our salvation, if you will, we haven't used that word yet, I don't think. Salvation, our being saved, it's of God's grace. Not that we earned it, not that we deserved it, but out of the grace of God. By grace, we are saved through our faith. Whose grace? God's grace. So it's His idea that we get saved. It's His idea, His wish, His will, His desire, His hope, His dream, if you will, that we experience a new birth. That we come alive. Be raised to a life of an existence of a spiritual life. Regeneration. God's renewal of those who come to believe in Him. And it's solely of God's grace. Those who trust in Jesus are recreated. We are born again. We are renewed in the Spirit, or we are made new persons. And if our experience with Jesus doesn't show up us to be new people than we were before, surely it shows up outwardly. But inwardly, it shows up too. We are no longer trusting in ourselves to get us to heaven. Well, I've been a good person. I think I ought to go to heaven. Don't matter how good you've been to get to heaven. Nicodemus was a good person. But Jesus says, you've got to have a new birth. You've got to be regenerated. Because even all of your goodness, Isaiah said, the prophecy of Isaiah, is like filthy rags before God. And what do we think about filthy rags? I got out and worked physically a little bit yesterday, and then I came in and took a bath and took my filthy rags and my dirty shoes and stuffed them in containers where I wouldn't be exposed to them. We don't think much, and they're not much more than rags. They're a little more than rags, some that I still wear around. Regeneration is of God's grace, and it is Him reaching out to us. And if we expect to get to heaven, it's not going to be on our good works. It's what Jesus did for us on the Calvary, and then Him overcoming the penalty of our sin through the resurrection and our faith in Him. Regeneration is necessary for eternal life. Well, I don't want to be born again. I want to remain like I am. I don't want to get too excited about spiritual things. Regeneration is necessary because all persons who are separated from God are dead and unable to love and glorify God. That's why we can still be mad at God. We can still curse God if we haven't been regenerated. But if we've been regenerated, we can't curse God anymore, can we? Regeneration is a spiritual experience. It's accomplished by the Holy Spirit showing sinners the truth about Christ. Story after story after story have come from the Gideons. They give a testimony. They go into a hotel room. They are sometimes ready to kill themselves. But there's a Bible laying there as last hope. They know enough about Christ and the Bible, they pick it up and open it up and read it. And then the Holy Spirit takes that word written on that paper and convinces them of the truth of the Scripture and of the truth of Christ. And the Holy Spirit moves in these people's lives like it moves in our lives. And like it will move in your life if it hasn't happened yet, enabling them to repent and believe God in the light of the truth and to receive the saving grace and the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers, or that God offers in the person of Jesus Christ. And then being regenerated, experiencing new birth, we are able to love God. And we are able to love neighbor. Now, it's hard to love the neighbor sometimes, isn't it? If they're a mean neighbor or something like that. When empowered by the influence of the Holy Spirit, we are able to love and glorify God and love and serve our neighbors. Why do people give their life to minister to other people? Some who don't even care about being ministered to. Because God is so moved in their hearts that they just can't help themselves. They've got to go and minister to other people. And then the regenerated. As regenerated people, as people who have experienced new birth, people who have been born again, people who have been saved from sin and Satan and saved unto God by the power of God, we are adopted into God's family. We're part of God's family. He adopts us. In the Apostle Paul, I'm told the Hebrews, or Jewish people, didn't know much about adoption. But Paul was writing to Greeks and Romans and people away from the land of the Hebrews, the promised land. And they knew about being adopted. And so he wrote in a manner that they could understand and we can comprehend. We are adopted into God's family. Now, how are we regenerated? How are we saved? How do we experience this new birth? Or how do we get born again? Faith in Jesus. He came to his own. John chapter 1. He came to his own, Jesus. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. They turned their back on him. Some people turned their back on him. Yet, to all who received him, to all who received Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Or he gave them a new birth. He gave them the right to become the children of God, new birth. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul and Silas were talking to the Philippian jailer who was about to take his own life. And he said, but what must I do to be saved eternally? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Paul was writing to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, in Jesus, will never be put to shame. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain. You must be born again. So nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. We come to God just as we are, and waiting not, we come for Jesus' blood to cleanse us from every sinful spot. Join with me, if you will, to sing 342. It's Just As I Am. We're going to sing the first stanza and the last stanza. The first and the last. Maybe today, if it hasn't happened already, is the day that you will decide that Jesus will save you and you'll put your trust in him. 342. Stand and let's sing. First and last. Maybe your response will be a public one. We'll meet you here at the altar if that be the case. Thank you.
people sign on them? Is that how it goes?
They tenant just don't sign the face.
Right. Can Ed's coming right today? Can he play on those hymns like He Touched Me? And
we have chill practice.
Good.
He touched me and love was with me.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't practice.
Just playing. He could, but
so
that's
if you
want to
play along, so we're practicing.
Do you change the key?
No, the same key.
Okay. And I don't need to play on Here I Am to worship, right? Because you've got.
If you want to.
I don't have. I mean, I stole somebody's music. I'll put it back. I don't have it.